This is Pastor Emring. There are three radio broadcasts reproduced on this tape. The first one will include the announcer's introduction at the beginning and his close at the end, just as you would hear it on the radio. Then, to save your time, the announcer will be left off the last two. During the broadcast, you will hear me offer free monthly literature, and I will state the month. Please do not write for that literature packet as such. You may be hearing these tapes months, even years, after the original broadcast was made. This is Pastor Emring. In Isaiah 46, God said to ancient Israel in verse 9 and 10, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure." This seems to be a strong claim by the Almighty that He has declared future world history. Then in the third chapter of Amos in the Old Testament, I read, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets." If we are to believe those two Bible passages, then we must believe that God has revealed through His prophets the history of the world. And yet we live in a time when our own nation is the preeminent nation in the world, and certainly the important one for the followers of Jesus Christ, and yet 9 ministers out of 10, if they are asked if God prophesied about America in the Bible, they will answer, "No, America is not mentioned in the Bible." Either they are satisfied that God did not know about the future and America, or He forgot to mention it. Well, I beg to disagree, and today I'll begin a 3-part series titled, "The Prophets and America." Stay tuned. Thank you. Today I am going to begin a 3-part series titled, "The Prophets and America." In recent years, more and more ministers, especially radio preachers, are preaching on prophecy. They tell their audiences that such and so is happening, or is going to happen in the future, because it was prophesied in the Bible. Almost without exception, their prophecies have to do with 3 things. Number 1, they say the Jews are going back to Palestine and are fulfilling the Bible prophecies that God would regather the Israelites in their old land. Number 2, that as soon as the Jews are regathered in Palestine, a great world ruler whom they call the Antichrist will appear, take over the world, and begin a period of 7 years of great tribulation upon the earth, in which tens of millions will be tortured and killed by the Antichrist. And number 3, just before this Antichrist appears, Jesus Christ will come secretly and silently, snatch off the earth His Gentile church, and take it to heaven, so that all Christians will be safe in heaven during this 7-year period of the Great Tribulation. They may add many other details, but that is the gist of prophecy preached in America today. As Christians listen to these stories, many of them being patriotic Americans who love their people and their country, they will ask the minister, "Well, what about America? What will happen to the United States? What does the Bible say about our country and our people?" In the early 1900s, most ministers answered, "Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about America. America is not mentioned in the Bible, and therefore, it will be just another one of the Gentile nations which will be destroyed during that tribulation period and during the Battle of Armageddon." However, in recent years, especially since World War II, as it has become obvious even to the most dense that the United States was the preeminent nation in all the world, and that without the United States, the Antichrist would already have taken over the earth and killed all the Christians, as they have killed them in Russia, in Eastern Europe, in China, and so on, their questions became more insistent, many of them saying to their preachers, "But America is the greatest, most wealthy nation in all human history. It is playing such an important part in both the spreading of the Christian gospel and in disseminating knowledge and wealth to the rest of the world, Certainly God must have mentioned America in the Bible. So ministers have been forced to come up with some sort of an answer. First they began to point to Romans 11:25, where Paul wrote, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And they would say, that means the Jews have been kept blind to Christ by God until the non-Jewish or Gentile nations grew great and prosperous. America is just one of those powerful Gentile nations. Then after the Jewish nation of Israel was officially formed and recognized by the United Nations, almost all prophecy preaching was concentrated on the Jews. Oh, the Jews are now a nation. They are Israel. And God is now gathering them back into their own land. The end is near. The Antichrist will appear upon the world stage soon, and on and on. This was heard all across America in the 1950s, the 1960s, and continuing on today. However, as 10 years went by, and then 20, and then 30, it became obvious the growth of Jewish-occupied Palestine not only slowed and has now all but come to a halt, but they also realized that if the United States were to withdraw her financial, military, and moral support of the Jewish state in Palestine, the Arab nations of the Mideast would move against the Jews and drive them out of the area. So here was God's chosen people, the Jews, supposedly fulfilling prophecy, but that fulfilling was physically dependent on the help they obtained from the United States, a nation supposedly not even mentioned in the Bible. So the questions became more urgent. If the nation of America is so important to the Jews fulfilling prophecy, didn't God know about this? And didn't he at least mention it in the Bible? Most ministers still answer no. America isn't in the Bible, although a few have come up with what they must think is an ingenious answer. They pick out one verse of Ezekiel 38, the chapter they claim is the prophecy that Russia and its satellite nations will invade Palestine, and they say, yes, look at verse 13. For there, as Russia comes against Palestine, we read, quote, "Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee," meaning they will say unto Russia, "shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil?" And they say, that verse means that at the time Russia invades Palestine, that Great Britain, whom they identify as Tarshish, and the United States, whom they identify as one of the young lions or offspring of Great Britain, these nations will rebuke Russia and possibly come to the aid of the Jews in Palestine. And so there, all you American Christians who can't understand why God never mentioned America, the greatest Christian nation of all history, there it is. You are in those three words, the young lions, and so America is mentioned in the Bible after all. And that is supposed to shut you up and stop that infernal questioning of the prophecy preachers about America. And of course it does shut up most of you. After all, if the minister says America is not mentioned in the Bible, except in those three words, then that is the end of the matter. But history goes on. It seems as much to confound men as it is to fulfill Bible prophecy. And in the last few years, it has become more and more obvious that Russia is not building a military machine to invade Palestine. Russia is building a military machine to invade and conquer America. And so a few renegade Christians are still pestering the ministers with the question, isn't America in the Bible? There has never been a nation like it. There is none like it in the world today. America affects the life of every human being on the globe, for good or for evil. If Russia is prophesied in the Bible, isn't it strange that God neglected to mention America? And so the questions go on. And now some ministers are coming up with a new answer. I've heard this several times recently. It goes something like this. Quote, "Well, God raised up America and made it wealthy and powerful in order to protect the little Jewish nation as it began to regather in Palestine," end of quote. And again, that is supposed to be the end of the matter. And that will satisfy some more of you. But perhaps a few of you will still insist. Maybe you'll ask, well, why did God have to raise up and bless a Gentile nation with all of that wealth? Why didn't God just raise up a Jewish nation and make it wealthy and powerful in its own right? After all, the ministers say Russia is going to invade Palestine to take a spoil, to take goods, to take gold and silver and great wealth. Why isn't that wealth in Palestine if that is where Russia is going to invade to get it? Why is one half of all the wealth of the world concentrated here in North America? Didn't God know what he was doing? And you might think of a few more questions to ask those who insist that America is either not in the Bible at all or only in that phrase, all the young lions thereof. Well, God willing, in the rest of this broadcast and in the next two broadcasts, I am going to read several passages in the books of the prophets about just such a nation as America, a huge nation, a nation of good climate and great wealth, a nation which would have the true religion, and a nation which all the non-Christian world would hate at the end of this age, a nation whose description in the books of the prophets cannot fit a little nation in the Mideast the size and population of Ireland. Since I am going to say some things in almost total opposition to that which is commonly preached today, you should read the Bible passages with me so you can make up your own mind. While you are getting your Bible, I will offer our free radio packet for September. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll send you, free and postpaid, an article by Professor Revelo P. Oliver, Christianity, Religion of the West. In it, Revelo Oliver makes a good argument that Christianity can only be understood by the mind of Western man. Also a tract titled, The Meaning of the Word Gentile in the Bible, and another one, The Origins of the Jews. You'll also receive my booklet, Heirs of the Promise, which gives both biblical and historical evidence that the white Caucasian peoples of Europe are the true descendants of the lost and dispersed tribes of Israel. And I'll send you a list of other books and tracts available from America's Promise. Write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the free September radio packet. If you want a much deeper study on this subject, you should send an offering of $5 and ask for the book, Tracing Our White Ancestors. This book is 186 pages. It was written about 50 years ago, and it covers in those pages the entire 6,000 years of the history of the white race upon the earth. High school and college students will find it especially fascinating, for it has the answers for all of those fools who teach or believe in evolution. The book, Tracing Our White Ancestors, will prove to you that our race has been on the earth only about 6,000 years, while the other races were here before us for some unknown length of time. The Chinese can claim they have historical records going back 13,000 years. they may be right. Professor Leakey claims he has found evidence of the Negro in Africa at least 70,000 years ago. He may be right. But no one has found evidence of the white race beyond 6,000 years ago, and there is a reason. We were not here until the creation of Adam, recorded in Genesis 2. You can have the book, Tracing Our White Ancestors, for a gift to this ministry of only $5. Ask for it by name, Tracing Our White Ancestors. The September packet is free for the asking, of course. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19, Peter wrote, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." We are going to read some of that sure word of prophecy, and hopefully it will shed some light on the confusion which surrounds America's place, or lack of place, in Bible prophecy. Since I have already mentioned Ezekiel 38 and 39, and they are familiar to most of my listeners because they are quoted so often by those who say Russia is going to invade Palestine, let us begin in Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 4. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords." And then the next two verses list utterers in confederacy with Gog: Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. I generally agree with the interpretation that this is a prophecy of the great combine of nations under the control of the USSR, so I'll give some of my reasons for that before we then consider the lands which this great confederacy would invade. Turn with me to Genesis 10, where are listed the descendants of Noah. Genesis 10, beginning in verse 1. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madai, and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tyrus, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarma, and the sons of Japhan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim and Dodan. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families in their nations." Then it lists the sons of Ham, and then verse 21 and on, the sons of Shem. We are primarily interested in Japheth, since the names listed in Ezekiel 38 are names of some of Japheth's sons and grandsons, not those of Ham or Shem. Ezekiel 38 lists Magog, Meshech, Tubal, and Gomer. Each of these four were sons of Japheth. Verse 6 also lists Togarma, who was a son of Gomer. The Schofield Reference Bible was first published in 1909. Mr. Schofield had this to say of Ezekiel 38 and verse 2, quote, "That the primary reference is to the northern European powers headed by Russia, all agree. Gog is the prince, Magog his land. The reference to Meshech and Tubal, Moscow and Tobolsk, is a clear mark of identification," end of quote. Prior to that, Arnold Gebelein, who was well known to fundamentalist ministers for his Conflict of the Ages, wrote a book on Ezekiel in which he said of this Gog and Magog, "This is Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk." In addition, the Hebrew word translated chief in verse 2 is the word Rosh, R-O-S-H, which is the name originally given to the people who settled Russia many centuries ago, and from which we get the modern term Russia, meaning literally, land of the Rosh. In verse 5, it lists three people who would be with the others, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya. Like the other names, these cannot be taken to mean only specific nations or peoples called by those names at this date. This prophecy was given about 2,500 years ago and would more probably refer to people who were known by those names at that time. If so, Persia would include most of the people in what we call today Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan. Ethiopia was the ancient name for Africa, especially Eastern Africa, much more territory than the modern nation of Ethiopia, and Libya was a name associated with the north coast of Africa west of Egypt. There still is a specific nation there with that name, but it would certainly mean more than just that one nation. It now happens that these land areas and the people who presently occupy them are now coming under the control of the USSR, which makes the identification of Gog and Magog here as a communist confederation of nations more certain than it would have been when Schofield and Gebelein made their comments. Also, I should add that some scholars say the term Magog means land of the Mongols, so this would then add the part of the USSR that is in Asia and also China, whose people are Mongols. The name Magog takes on added significance when we find that the Greek word translated Magog in Revelation 20 means literally an anti-Christian party, which the people who rule Russia today certainly are. So I have no argument with the general interpretation that this person or being or thing being spoken of here by God as Gog is modern USSR and its satellites. That these other lands, such as Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, are not willing confederates of Gog, is revealed in verse 7, where God says to Gog, "Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them." The word translated guard means prison. Be thou a prison unto them. As the Red Bolsheviks have taken over each of these nations, all who do not escape are made prisoners of the Bolsheviks. And here Ezekiel wrote over 2,500 years ago that description that the nations under Gog would be like a prison. So far, so good. Now comes the problem. The next verses in Ezekiel 38 prophesy that this Gog and his confederate peoples will invade the mountains of Israel, but the description of the mountains of Israel given in those verses simply does not fit the land of Palestine or the nation of Israeli in any way. This is Pastor Emring. You read the rest of chapter 38 of Ezekiel, and then next week, God willing, we will read it together and try to find out if it fits Palestine or if it more nearly fits the United States of America and Canada. Meanwhile, write for the free radio packet for September. One item is Dr. Oliver's article, Christianity, Religion of the West. Dr. Oliver states that 400 years of Christian missionary work by white missionaries, with its almost universal failures, has proven Christianity is not exportable to non-white races. He said that over 20 years ago, and events have not changed. Out of the Holocaust that is Vietnam and Cambodia today, tens of thousands of starving and terror-stricken Asians have been rescued, fed and clothed by Christian missionaries, and taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thousands have claimed conversion, are shipped to America, and once here, safe from being sent back, they build Buddhist shrines and continue in their Asian religion. Even some of the missionaries are now admitting these frightened refugees are professing Christianity, not because they understood or believed what they had been told, but because they hoped, by professing to believe in Christianity, they had a better chance to get on the list for America. You should read Christianity, Religion of the West. Also a small booklet, The Meaning of the Word Gentile in the Bible. This booklet is a must for those who would understand what is happening in the world today. Ministers today try to tell us that the word Gentile means any person who is not a Jew, and sometimes they say not a Jew or not a Christian. In actual fact, the word Gentile has a different meaning, and the meaning changes with its use, which is shown in this booklet, The Meaning of the Word Gentile in the Bible. We'll also send you an historical and biblical study titled, The Origins of the Jews. All of that is free for the asking when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the free September radio packet. If you want the 186-page book, first published in 1932, titled Tracing Our White Ancestors, please send an offering of $5 to this ministry and ask for it by title, Tracing Our White Ancestors. This has 6,000 years of history. In 186 pages, I am sure you will find it absolutely fascinating. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bible and pray for Christian America. This is Pastor Emery. Most prophecy preachers today teach that the 38th and 39th chapters of the prophet Ezekiel predict a great military invasion by Russia and possibly by China of the land of Palestine occupied by the Jews. However, the land to be invaded by this Gog and Magog, whom they identify as Russia and China, is described in some detail in Ezekiel 38, and that description fits not tiny, dried-up old Palestine, but North America. Are we being deliberately lied to lull us to sleep so the Russian hordes can catch America unaware? Does Ezekiel 38 really describe an invasion of America rather than Palestine? Get your Bibles and read the description with me. Stay tuned. Yes, this is Pastor Emery with number 2 in our 3-part series on Ezekiel 38 and America. Last week we began to read the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, since it is one so commonly read by prophecy preachers to teach that Russia is going to invade Palestine and fight the Jews. As Russia moves into Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, and other nations of the Mideast, they are more convinced than ever that Russia's final goal is the little nation of Palestine. Now, we did read last week the first 7 verses of Ezekiel 38, and I explained that I do agree with the deduction that the nations listed there under the name of Gog, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah are today what we know as the USSR and also China. Those names, of course, are the descendants of Japheth, one of the sons of Noah. They will control, according to verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya as Persians. Those last three are generally Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan, constituting ancient Persia, Ethiopia, which was the ancient name for Libya, which is Africa west of Egypt. It's rapidly there forever. Called in verse 8, the mountains of Israel, where I disagree with most other prophecy preachers. They say the land called the mountains of Israel is Palestine. I say the land called the mountains of Israel are the many nations of North America, including South Africa and Australia, nations by the Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples. So you get your Bibles and read with me the description of the land to be invaded by Gog and Magog. While you are getting your Bibles and a pencil and paper to take notes, I will offer our free literature packet for September. The packet will have in it an article by Dr. Revel P. Oliver titled, Christianity, Religion of the West. Dr. Oliver claims this strange religion called Christianity exists only among the race simply because it is only the white race whose thought patterns can make this strange book called the Bible understandable. The September packet also includes a booklet, The Meaning of the Word Gentile as Used in the Bible. Although the church today teaches that a Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew or not a Christian, the word really means nations. And those nations can be Jews, Israelites, Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, or whatever, depending on people being discussed in the passage. An understanding of that one word will remove much of the confusion regarding the New Testament, which as I teach will be in the September packet. You may have it free and postpaid simply by writing to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the September packet. That address again is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll also send along a list of about 50 other tracts and books available from us. About half of them are on Bible prophecy, the rest on Bible doctrines. Back to Ezekiel 38. All right, the entity addressed in verse 1 through verse 6 as Gog would be that power controlling the Mongolian nations of Asia and several other nations it has conquered, as we have seen. In the Lamsa translation of verse 2, it reads, Set your face against China and the land of the Mongolians. George Lamsa was fluent in the languages in which the Bible was originally written. His Magog means literally, the land of the Mongolians. Henry Ford, the great industrialist, wrote a book of communism over 50 years ago in which he said, quote, Communism is Asiatic, end of quote. And it's true. The philosophy which guides communism is alien to the people of our race. It has more kinship to the philosophy of government, or rather of dictatorship, as practiced among the Mongolians for many centuries. In any case, verse 1 through 6 undoubtedly is speaking of the red communist power we now see ruling over Russia and vast areas of Mongolia, Asia, and slowly but surely bringing more and more of the world under its control. Then from verse 8 and on is described the invasion of, quote, the mountains of Israel, unquote, by this Mongolian power. Since most ministers have been taught in the seminaries that the people who call themselves Jews are the people of Israel, they naturally assume this invasion will be of the Jewish state in Palestine, and that is the way they teach it. However, in the prophecy of the invasion of the mountains of Israel, the invaded land is described in some detail. Let us read verse 8 through verse 12, then we'll go back over those verses, phrase by phrase, to see just what kind of land it really describes. Is it Palestine, or is it some other land, possibly America? Verse 8 through verse 12 of Ezekiel 38. After many days thou shalt be visited, in the latter years thou shalt come in a land that is brought back from the Lord and is gathered out of many people against the mountain of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. And here's the reason for the invasion, verse 12, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. All right, let us take it phrase by phrase. In September, since in verse 2, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy against Gog, and in verse 3, God says, Behold, I am against Gog, and I will bring thee all thine army, and so on. So it is only logical then to interpret that phrase in verse 8, after many days thou shalt be visited, to mean that it is God Almighty who will be doing the visiting, and the purpose of God's visit will be to do what he said he would do in verse 4, put hooks in the jaws of Gog and his armies, and lead them out of their own territory, to invade, quote, the mountains of Israel. So it is God Almighty who controls this vast army under Gog. The time of this visit and this moving out only is given in the next phrase in verse 8, in the latter years thou shalt come into the land, and then it describes the land of the mountains of Israel. In Bible, the land of the has become a threat to the world only since 1917. At that time it was very weak, as it began its conquest of Russia. In fact, it took over 20 years for the Reds to consolidate their power and kill off their opposition in the European part of Russia, and they did not gain control of the rest of East Europe and of China until after World War II. Now they are taking control of the subcontinent of Asia and much of Africa, and have infiltrated all nations. Now let us read the description of the mountains of Israel, which Gog and Magog will invade in the last days. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword. The term sword is used in the Old Testament many times as a symbol of war. Therefore, a land brought back from the sword would be a land that in the past would have known war, but at the time of the invasion would be a land of peace, a land which God would have kept from war, at least for a time. The next descriptive phrase, and is gathered out of many people. This would imply not only that the inhabitants had been gathered into that land in some manner, but that they had been gathered, quote, out of many people, unquote. Now, as we go along, I am going to comment on both Jewish-occupied Palestine and Anglo-Saxon North America as to which one I think best fits these descriptions. As to the land brought back from the sword, certainly Jewish-Israeli is not a land of peace. Its citizens live in fear of war on a daily basis, and there are continual attacks or skirmishes and threats of invasion. However, since our civil war of over 100 years ago, we have not had a war in North America and no real threat of military invasion since the War of 1812. We have been involved in great wars on other continents. However, our land has known peace for over 100 years. Gathered out of many people. This phrase quite obviously fits North America and does not fit at all the Jewish state in Palestine. The present inhabitants of Jewish-occupied Palestine are either the indigenous Arabs who have been there for two millenniums and were not gathered from anywhere else, or the Jews who have emigrated in recent years, all of them being gathered not from many people, but from one people, from the Jews. Here in America, we even recognize our people being gathered out of many people by incorporating on our official national emblem, our great seal, the slogan E Pluribus Unum, or out of many, one, meaning out of many people, we have become one people. Even if we say, but the Jews came to Palestine from many nations, for the word nation is used in verse 8, again and also in verse 12, we would have to temper it a little, for the truth is almost all of the Jews now in Palestine emigrated there from only four nations, Russia, Poland, Germany, and some from the United States. In the last 20 years, almost all Jews who have gone to Palestine have come from one nation, from Soviet Russia. And even there we run into a problem, since most of the Jews who leave Russia for Palestine do not go there. but come to the United States instead, making their migration or their gathering not to Palestine, but to North America. I have been waiting for years for the preachers to start preaching that the Jews are being gathered to the United States, but I have not yet heard it. The land itself is called, in the next phrase, the mountains of Israel. Throughout Bible prophecy, the word mountain or mountains is used to denote a nation or nations. Look up the term mountain and mountains, and you will find 50 or more places in the prophets where it is used to refer to a land or a nation. So this is not necessarily physical mountains here. If it were, would we then believe that Gog and the Mongols would invade only the mountains in Israel and leave the valleys at peace? No, it stands for nations, and it is plural, mountains. So, more than one land or one nation is to be invaded. If the Jews are Israel, as so many teach, they have only one land, Palestine. But we Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred peoples have many nations, and the plural term mountains, more than one nation, fits the Christian nations. The next phrase in verse 8, which have been always waste. Here is a big stumbling block for the proponents of Palestine is Israel. Palestine has not always been waste. In fact, Palestine has been quite heavily populated with some of the most advanced civilizations throughout recorded history. Certainly it has been wasted a number of times by war or famine, but the original Hebrew here signifies always waste or desolate up until one specific time. That time being explained in the next phrase, but it is brought forth out of the nations. North America, until the arrival of the Christian Caucasians from Europe, was literally waste, a desolate, empty wasteland. Experts estimate that there were fewer than 900,000 Stone Age natives in its 9 million square miles, or one person per every 9 square miles. To realize how sparsely populated that would be, we have that many people in the metropolitan Phoenix area, an area of about 20 miles by 20 miles. And Rhode Island, our smallest state, has over 1 million people, more than the number who occupied the entire landmass of the United States and Canada when Columbus came in 1492. In addition to that, in North America at Columbus time, there were no roads, no sea harbors, no cities, no manufacturing, no civil government except that of isolated tribes, and agriculture was practiced in primitive fashion by only a few of the tribes. Every tribe spoke a different dialect. There was no written language except some crude pictures. The wheel, the plow, or the use of animals to carry burdens was unknown to the Indians, and as far as we know, North America had been like that for millennia up until it was brought forth out of the nations, or its new population was brought forth out of the nations of Christian Anglo-Saxondom in Europe. Quite obviously, North America was desolate, a wasteland, up until that time and can fit the term always been waste. Whereas, the land of Jewish-occupied Palestine fits it not at all. North America is certainly one of the lands referred to in Deuteronomy 32, where Moses said that God had set the boundaries for the people according to the number of the children of Israel. God had preserved North America for his Israel people. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and the last phrase in verse 8, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. The word translated safely is the Hebrew betek, and the margin on some Bibles will tell you it could have been translated confidently. Strong's Concordance says the Hebrew word means confidently or without care or fear. If you have visited Palestine or seen pictures of it if it has been occupied by the Jews, one cannot apply this to them. Barbed wire, lookout towers, minefields, machine gun posts, tanks, artillery, armed troops guarding field workers, constant patrols on its borders, even machine gun toting soldiers, and warehouses, manufacturing plants, airfields, bus depots, and public buildings. The visible evidence is overwhelming that in Palestine is a people dwelling not without care or fear, but a people living in daily fear of its enemies. In addition to that, its representative at the United Nations is continually voicing his nation's fear of attack, not from Russia, by the way, but from the Arab nations, and its ambassador to the United States or some other high Jewish official is at the White House or at Congress every month asking for more money or for more defense weapons or for additional assurance that the United States will protect the Jews if the Arabs attack them. That the inhabitants of this invaded land of Israel were to be a people dwelling betak or without fear is not only in verse 8, but the prophet repeats this same phrase in verse 11 and verse 14. Apparently, one of the most important identifying marks of these people in the mountains of Israel prior to the invasion by Gog and Magog was their lack of fear. Some of you conservatives and anti-communists out there can testify that the vast mass of our citizens are dwelling without fear of an enemy invasion. Some few of us have seen the growing might and power of the communists. We have watched the slow change of our government from one of a free people to that of a totalitarian government. And even now we watch the invasion of our land by hundreds of thousands of Mongolian Asians and other aliens, and yet when we try to warn our fellow Anglo-Saxons of the danger, they look at us as if we somehow have lost our minds. These Americans keep their heads in the sand, and they fit the phrase, they dwell confidently or without fear. The Jews, at least, have the intelligence and the good sense to recognize the danger from the Arabs, who have said they want to drive the Jews into the sea, and they react to it. They live in fear, not in safety and in confidence. By the way, where this phrase is used in verse 14, it is where God says to this invading force, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, meaning without care or fear, shall thou not know it. And they do. The Red Bolsheviks have untold tens of thousands of agents in America, all the way from those who are paid directly by the Soviet secret police, to those of our own citizens brainwashed to work for communism, to immigrants or refugees who spy on America out of fear of the Reds, and they know everything that is going on in this country. The Russian communist infiltration into our own government was such 40 years ago that Major George Racy Jordan, who was in charge of ferrying supplies to the Soviet Union during World War II, wrote in his book, Major Jordan's Diaries, that it was soon obvious to his military officers that whatever was known in the White House with Franklin Delano Roosevelt was known immediately by the Russian communists. Communist influence in America was so powerful by 1953 that all congressional agencies which were investigating communist activities in the United States were literally stopped in their tracks. There has been no congressional investigation of American communism for over 25 years. Here in Ezekiel 38, God Almighty says Gog and Magog will know that God's people Israel are dwelling without fear of being invaded at the very time that Gog and Magog will invade Israel. In spite of everything the patriots and the anti-communists have done in America, it seems they will not be able to awaken the American people prior to the invasion. One of the major reasons why American Christians are without fear of this invasion from Gog and Magog is that their ministers and radio evangelists tell them, Ezekiel 38 is about Russia invading Palestine. This is Pastor Emery. God willing, I'll continue in Ezekiel 38 next week. In a little we have already covered, you can see none of this fits the little land of Palestine. But it does fit our land and that of our kindred in Canada. So be sure and tune in next week. This is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.